Blog Talk Radio.
They said we were
staying in the last velvet liner.
Absolutely.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
London, Ontario country artist Stacey Ziggers joins me on the show today to talk about her music career and her CD called Famous, which features the first single, Living the Dream. And she is indeed living the dream, and we'll find out all about it. This is Stacey Ziggers. Hey there, Stacey.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, great. Welcome to the show. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fantastic, thank you. How about yourself?
I am doing wonderful myself, and it's great to hear from you. I've had a chance to listen to your music, of course. Now, I understand, was it just today or in the last couple of days you've been shooting a video?
I did a music video last week, actually.
Wonderful.
I was shooting a music video. Yeah, it was really fun. My boyfriend's parents have a gorgeous little piece of property right on the lake on Lake Erie, so it was a perfect backdrop last week when it was, 30 degrees on Wednesday or whatever it was. It ended up being the perfect day for it, so got really...
Now, that's terrific. And what song is this one for?
It's for Talk Is Cheap, which is going to be my next release to radio.
Excellent. And we'll be sharing that song on the show today. What was it like doing the video? Now, I know you're quite comfortable in front of the camera because you obviously have performed in front of the camera concerts that have been filmed and also as a CMT host audition,
yeah,
which we'll talk about as well. But so what was the video shoot like?
It was really, really fun. It was, I think, the easiest way to feel the most comfortable in front of the camera is just not to care what anyone thinks. So I made the conscious decision to do that a couple of years ago when I started getting into music. You know, everyone has their opinion, and people are going to like you or they're going to hate you. And I think the easiest way is just to be yourself and not worry about what people think. So if I'm really silly in front of the camera, sometimes those shots end up making the best pictures or the best footage. You know what I mean? So not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, getting into my own little world is the best way to do it.
Yeah, you have to be not, like you're saying, and you can't be aware of yourself and what you're doing. You've got to let go. And what's the expression? Dance like nobody's watching?
Exactly. Well,
yeah,
that's exactly what I did for this music video.
That's terrific. Now, the CD that's out now is your debut CD released just a short while ago. It's called Famous.
Yep.
You want to talk about, I understand you've done quite a bit of the writing on the CD?
I did. I wrote all except for two songs. I have a Bryan Adams cover that I did on the album from the song Do I Have to Say the Words? And then Steve Fox wrote a song on the album called Sunflower, which I was kind of, I think sometimes artists when they first start out and they're writers, they kind of have an ego. They're like, I'm going to put everything that I wrote on this album, which was my ego before I recorded. And then heard this Bryan Adams song, and my producer had this idea to make it. It's a hard rockin' song, and he's like, I think it would be a gorgeous, like, piano-driven ballad, which I totally agreed with him. And then Steve Fox played a song for me called Sunflower, which is about a little girl who gets teased, but from the teaser's perspective, which I think everyone can relate to. I think we all felt, in growing up that we didn't belong, no matter who you are, if you're the one being teased or if you're the one who's teasing. And I was always teased when I was little because I have those little bottle cap glasses.
I read about those.
Yeah, so I heard the song and I was like, I can't not record this. It's such a beautiful song. So I did, and it's been a really, really great ride. Everything on the album, if you listen to it from beginning to end, is basically the story of my life up until now. So it's a great experience.
When you're writing the story of your life and getting those kind of moments, a lot of them personal, into songs, is it tough at all sitting down to write them and open up like that?
I think it's more tough when you try to force it. Like I write the best when I'm not trying to write a song. I write the best when I'm, you know, reading a book and something just invokes something in me that makes me want to write something, or I'm, you know, waitressing and somebody makes a remark that I'm just like, yeah, that I relate with that, and then I just go write like crazy. There's many different ways to songwrite. You can make an appointment with somebody and get together and songwrite, and usually the songs that come out best for me are songs that have kind of been stewing in my head for a while, and I make these songwriting appointments just to have the songwriter or the other person pull the best song out of me possible.
And for those who don't know the entire process, you're talking there obviously about you've got a germ of an idea, you've written down some notes, maybe got a bit of a melody, and then you're meeting with a co-writer, and you're spending a couple of hours in most cases trying to finish that up from start to finish?
Yeah, exactly. So,
You can continue. I was just going to ask, have you been in Nashville co-writing or co-writing around the London area?
I went to Nashville a bunch of times last year to co-write, and I've gone a couple of times this time. But for my debut album that I recorded, it just ended up that every song that ended up on the album were songs that I co-wrote with friends of mine in Canada. So I think it's really, really interesting in the fact that, you know, I wasn't really looking for an album to be the story of my life, but when the album was done, I listened to all the tracks and we were figuring out what order to put them in and, you know, what Nashville would like and stuff like that. And I just had this realization that, wow, you know, the first song's about teasing, the last song's about, like, heartbreak, and everything in between has been sort of my journey through music and love and, you know, life. And this is actually my story. And it was just really interesting the way that it ended up.
That's amazing that it wasn't planned that way, but then it kind of came together. I'm sure it was quite an emotional experience when you were listening with that in mind.
Yeah, it was really amazing. It's been a really cool process. Like before I recorded the album, I made the conscious decision, you know, if this is the only thing I do in my life, musically, if this is the only album I record, I want it to be something about me. I want it to be something I'm proud of. I don't want it to be something that I record so that executives in an office in Nashville will sign me. You know what I mean? Like something like that would just be an amazing bonus to, I feel like, something that I put my heart and soul into. So this album means a lot to me in that sense.
Yeah, it would be tough, I'm sure, and I'm sure it happens a lot where a management company wants to make you in a certain image, which might be popular and might sell, but then it's hard to keep that up afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's just easier to start off your career as yourself. This is who I am. This is how I write. Yeah, maybe it's not a formulated hit, but I think it will connect to people because it comes from my heart. And it was really interesting to sit in meetings with some executives in Nashville at different record labels and have them tell me, sorry, Stace, in our opinion, there's no hits on this album, and have me tell them, that's fine, because I didn't record this album for you. I recorded it for me. And the amount of people who, I just felt like I got this respect from people, you know. Some of them really sat up in their seats when I said that and were like, wow. Because I don't know in this whole industry of, you know, fame seekers and things like that, where people are, I don't want to say this the wrong way. There's a lot of people who do write music from the heart and do have intentions of making the best possible product that they can for themselves and hoping that people get it. But there's also a lot of people out there who are like, well, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do because I want to be famous and I want to be, you know, all these different
things. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's been a really interesting process, and I just think it's so funny because I knew all along, you people aren't going to, maybe you're not going to get it, or you're going to tell me that there's no hits on it, and that's fine because that would just be a bonus.
And you're being true to yourself, and that comes first, and whatever follows will follow, and that's a great place to come from.
Yeah.
And you do so much of this yourself. It's amazing. I was reading you book your shows, you manage it all, and you finance it. And I understand even on a tour earlier this year, you drove yourself all around the States on a tour.
I didn't drive myself all the way around the States, no.
Part of the States.
Part of the States, yeah. I drive myself to Nashville. I have two shows actually coming up on Thanksgiving weekend in Syracuse, New York, and I'm basically driving 6 hours to play for 45 minutes and then pretty much turning around and coming back home. But I love music that much. I believe in myself that much. I'm yet to find somebody who can convince me that they believe in me as much as I do. And until I find somebody who I really feel, you know, gets what I want and isn't just looking for, ooh, she's really cute and she's got a great voice so we can make a product out of her. Until I can find that person, I think I'm just kind of forced to keep doing it myself because that's – I don't think at all I know best. I know I have a lot to learn, but I know myself and I believe in myself, and it's hard for me to find somebody who believes in me as much as I do. So, you know, come hell or high water or fame or poverty, I'm just going to just keep doing it because I love to do it. But mind you, it is getting very taxing now because I'm sort of in a position where I spend all these hours booking shows and doing all these things that I'm kind of getting away from the art a little bit, and that's a little bit frustrating.
Exactly. That must be frustrating because the performer side of you obviously wants to be up on stage performing and writing songs, and the business stuff takes up time that, you know, you could be doing that with.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of basically where I am now. So
yeah.
I'm hoping somebody's out there who wants to help me out and who believes in me and who I have a good vibe about and a good feeling about because I think that's important.
Good for sure.
And then that can help me, you know, get my music out to more people and you know, spread the word on it. So
exactly. Well, let's skip to your music out there right now, Stacey. And the single from the debut album is called Living the Dream. And it obviously encompasses a lot of what you're doing, living the dream and chasing after this music thing. Do you want to talk about writing the song, and then we'll share it for all our listeners?
Yeah, that'd be great. This is a song I wrote with a friend of mine, Kevin Bushy, who lives just in Hamilton near me here in London. And I basically showed up at his house, and I'm like, you know what? I have this idea, living the dream, but everyone has a different dream. Not everyone wants to be a musician. Not everyone wants to be a chef. Not everyone wants to be a tax attorney. We all have this sort of vision of our dreams. So my idea was, you know, living your dream, but not necessarily meaning that your dream is to be rich.
Right.
So it's living your dream, but you're living in your car, because I spent the majority of last year living in my car, not in the sense that I didn't have a home. I had a home, but I would drive to Nashville, sleep in my car, you know, drive to Toronto, sleep in my car, just basically to save money. But I'm living
right.
my dream. I'm very lucky that all I get to do is music. I spend pretty much every hour of every day thinking and working on it. So, but I'm still very far below the poverty line. So I am living my dream, but I pretty much live in my car. So
that's the next song, Living in the Car.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's share this now. This is Stacey Ziggers and a great song, Living the Dream, here on In the Country.
Those 18 years. He said,
Country artist Stacy Ziggers and Living the Dream here on In the Country. And yeah, there's definitely something to be said about driving in the car and the freedom that you feel when you're driving down a highway or a road.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's very, very relaxing. It gets very tiring, mind you, if that's all you're doing. But
sure.
But it's a great time to reflect. It's a great space to just, you know, be in your head and figure things out. I've driven, it's about a 10-hour drive to Nashville. I've driven back and forth so many times now that you can't even explain it unless you do there. It's like a meditation. It's just you, the road, you know, the sky, and I always try to just get home as fast as I can, basically. But in that time, in that 10 hours or so, all you have is your thoughts and, say, your radio. So I come up with great ideas, you know, you come up with avenues that I can pursue my career in or anyone else. And it's just a really great space to get away. You know, you're in Nashville, I'm there for, say, a week or two straight, songwriting, meeting people, showcasing, and then you get in your car and all of a sudden it's silence. You can just drive and just be with yourself and really reflect on what you just did, what you can create in the future, and it's a really great space to be in. I absolutely love driving, and that's one of the reasons why.
Awesome. Now, can you think of the best advice you've been given, say, over the last few years or since you started pursuing music, somebody in your life or whether it's a close friend or somebody in the business who sort of told you something that really worked for you?
I would have to say the absolute best advice I've ever been given was intentional but unintentional. My dad, from the time when we were little, has said, whatever you decide to do in life, make sure you educate yourself about it. So whether it's going to university because you're going to be a lawyer or a doctor or whatever, or in my case, music, educate yourself. So rather than, you know, I only started 3 years ago pursuing music seriously as a career. And in that 3 years, I feel like I've done really, really well for myself, seeing as how I'm sort of on my own. Like, my parents, they're farmers. They don't really know anything about music. They didn't really know how to help me in any way. So really all I had was my resources and my ability to ask questions. So I've been really, really fortunate in the sense that that has caused me to build a lot of really important relationships with people in Nashville, people here. I feel like I have a sort of amount of respect because I'm very curious about the industry. I try to find out everything I can about the industry before going down a certain avenue. So when I made the conscious decision to do this album and to do it without any quote-unquote hits on it because I was doing it for myself, I knew that I was going to get executives tell me that there was no hits on it. But that was fine because I was ready to tell them that,
right,
that's okay, the album wasn't for you, it was for me.
And yep.
I think my best advice to anyone out there who might be listening who wants to be a doctor or a dentist or a musician or an artist, just get educated. Ask everyone you can questions. Find a mentor. Pick their brain, you know, and you'll figure out who wants to help you and who doesn't. There's a lot of people. Everyone's a human being. And, you know, for somebody like me who did a debut album and nobody knows who she is and I've gotten access to record label, you know, presidents because basically I'm not afraid to ask questions and I'm not afraid to put myself out there. So that's what I would say. Make sure you believe in yourself and you believe in your product and you believe in your goals, and then just ask questions, because I would say 9 times out of 10 you're going to get answers for it. You might not get the answers you want to hear, but all of those answers are going to move you forward, because knowledge is power.
So. For sure. That's great advice, because there are people out there who will answer those questions, and instead of going in blindly into something, you, like you say, you get a mentor and somebody who fills you in on what's going on, and you're going to be ahead of things. And you're really determined, obviously. We can tell that by listening. But also back when you were 16, I found this fascinating to read. You traveled to Vancouver Island to become a yoga teacher, and you were so determined and you actually became one.
Yeah, I did.
That sounds
pretty cool. I was actually 19. I think my bio makes it. At 16, I started doing yoga and started practicing, you know, pretty much daily. And at 19, I was the youngest person in my class. And I think the only other younger girl that she had ever taught to be a teacher was 18. And I just decided to go go and do it. So while my friends were kind of, you know, partying and going to university, I was a vegan living on Vancouver Island for 5 weeks, you know, getting up every morning at 6 a.m., meditating for an hour, doing breathing exercises for a half an hour. Yeah, and doing yoga about 3 or 4 hours a day. And honestly, that experience changed my life so much because it's like driving, you know, those spaces in time where you can just spend time not thinking, not forcing what you want out of life because, you know, things might always change, but just discovering who you are inside and then letting things unfold within you that you might not have even known existed is very powerful. So the fact that I got to do that at 19, I think, has also created sort of a power for myself within myself to forge ahead, because that is the time, you know, when I said I don't really care what people think anymore. Like if my parents aren't going to support me or my friends aren't going to support me, or if they are, I'm going to do music. I'm going to find what I really love to do in life, and I'm going to do it. And I came home. I turned 20 while I was there. I opened my own yoga studio. I taught for a year in my own studio, and then I taught in other studios for a couple of years. And then I made the decision to not teach yoga anymore, but keep it a part of my life and focus on music. Because if you choose a career path and if you, and my dad always said this too, you sort of have to stick to it. Otherwise, you know, you're not giving enough to the one area. So I gave everything I could give to yoga and to my business while I owned my studio. And then it just came the time where it felt right to go all the way with music. So, you know, that's what I'm sort of on my path for right now. Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, one of the other things along your path was auditioning for to be a CMT host for the summer when they do their casting call.
Yeah.
And you made it pretty far along in the process. Do you want to describe that? And I've seen the video. Anyone can watch it on YouTube or at your website. And you're really great at being in front of the camera and doing that hosting thing.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a really, really cool experience. It was one of those things where you hear about it at the last moment and you just do it. Like I don't want to say I had a gut feeling that I was going to make it that far, because I don't want to sound cocky, because that's not at all what it is. But I think everyone can sort of relate with just kind of knowing, like deep down inside, you sort of know that if this is what you do, it's going to work out. So I sent in an audition tape. You know, a week later, found out I was in the top 16. A couple weeks after that, found out I was in the top 5. Got to go to CMT headquarters. You know, we had this whole day event where we had to do some fun stuff. And the most important thing that sort of came out of it was the relationships that I built at CMT, because now as a country artist releasing music and blah, 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 they know who it's coming from. They can put, you know, a personality to a song and to a music video, which is really cool. I didn't win. I was actually sort of told that I should have won, but it was based on votes, so Canada was best. And it was a good experience. And then a few weeks after that, or a few months after that, I auditioned online for Karaoke Star through CMT, made it through with the online votes, and got to go to Banff, and again got to reinforce that relationship with CMT and meet a lot of really cool people. I became really good friends with one of the girls that did it with me as well. It was a cool year last year, but it also, at the end of the year, when I sort of came out and hadn't won these things, but spent so much time thinking about them and focusing on it, and I just released my album and all this stuff sort of came together. It's actually, you know, within the last 6 or 8 months, again, that I've really gotten back to my roots and really gotten back to yoga, because last year I spent so much time, for lack of a better term, driving myself crazy over the fact that I was doing this project and I was releasing a CD and here it is. I just spent the whole last year, you know, focusing all my energy on the CD and on CMT and voting for myself online and, you know, trying to convince people that I'm amazing. Like, here's my CD, and you have your CD release party and you sell a couple hundred and then nothing. You know what I mean? Like, and you're just like, oh, nobody cares. And it's not that nobody cares. It's just that nobody knows how you feel. Like, if you're going to, you know, law school for for 4 years after 4 years of university, and you
yep.
and you graduate and you call your friends and they're all like, cool, and then you're stuck in your room alone just to, you know, and
yeah, exactly.
someone to knock it on your door being like, hey, you're a lawyer, let me hire you. So it was just kind of this thing, and my relation, I had a five-year-long relationship sort of ended at the end of that because of a result that I had put all this energy into that I sort of went, okay, I need to just get back to who I am and not worry that I blew all this money and nobody cares, and not worry because I did this for me, you know, again, but you forget those things when you're focusing on this greater goal. So
for sure.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Stacey Ziggers on the line with us from London, Ontario. Several sites you can check her out on the internet, StaceyZiggers.com, MySpace.com/StaceyZiggers. And I think there's probably a few others, Facebook. And are you on Twitter as well?
I'm on Twitter, yeah, Twitter.com/StaceyZiggers. You can Google me, I'm sure.
Yep. Yep, you're all over the place on there. There's videos and all kinds of information. I wanted to ask you, Stacey, about your influences in country music. I know you're a passionate country music fan. Who are some of the artists that you look up to and sort of enjoy listening to?
I would say, and it's very recent. Like I really liked Shania Twain growing up. I loved Jan Arden, even though she's not country. Jules is the reason I started playing guitar. I listen to all genres of music, but I would have to say in the last year, the song that had the most impact on me, and I know this isn't what you asked, and I'm sorry, but I just have to say,
oh, sure. Go ahead.
is Risk by Paul Brandt. And I think if
right.
anyone listening, if you're from the States or wherever and you don't know who Paul Brandt is and you don't know the song Risk, you definitely need to listen to it, because I heard that song, and it was just one of those songs that made you sit and listen and change your life just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know,
and the video that goes with it is so inspiring.
Very inspiring. Very
yeah.
inspiring. Yeah. Warren Sinoda, I think his name is, I believe, recorded it and did a fantastic job in it. And you know, it's people like that who just release inspiring music that I love to listen to. Not necessarily country, but don't get me wrong, I love country music, but just people who release inspiring
sure.
music inspires me to release inspiring music.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, are there some songs that you sing that you've written that you've got people coming up to at a show afterwards and saying, hey, that song really made a difference to me?
Actually, you know Crystal Gage, right?
I sure do.
You do. Okay, so Crystal and I did a songwriting circle a couple of years ago, and I wrote this song called You're My Home. And what the song is about is sort of my tangled relationship between music and love, whereas if you're dating somebody who's not in the music industry, it's kind of hard in my experience for them to understand what you're going through, for them to understand what you want and what you're trying to create and what you're trying to do. So I wrote this song, and it's basically about being torn and hoping that the other person, you know, my love, understands that, you know, music is what I do and it's who I am, but
right.
in the end of everything, you're my home. You are who I come home to. So if I'm on the road, you know, staying in motels and traveling all around, you're who I always come back to. You're my home, basically. So sang that song a couple of years ago at the songwriting circle. Crystal Gage came up to me, and that's actually how we built our friendship, because she came up and was like, wow, that is exactly what I'm going through. And maybe it's hard for people who aren't musicians to understand the song, but I think everyone can understand with not necessarily or with having their partner not necessarily understanding what they're going through in a
sure.
situation.
Sure. And letting them know that they are their home, that place they go to, despite everything else going on.
Yeah, exactly. So that song, I would say, has geared the most reaction. I love... My shows are very different than my CD. It's kind of interesting because my CD just ended up being this very, like, storytelling, you know, slow-moving, almost
right.
folky CD. And if you watch me live, it's very energetic. It's like a workout video. People are like, that's why you stay so skinny, because I just jump around and I sweat like crazy and I want everyone to have a good time. So it's very, very high energy. So So his songs kind of resonate with people differently. You know, on an album, people have the time to sit there with their eyes closed and repeat
exactly.
it, and sort of absorb it. Where live, they just feed off your energy. So different.
Now, do you have a favorite cover song you do in concert?
A favorite cover song. I really love doing high energy songs. So I would say "Crazy Ex-Girlfriend" from Miranda Lambert.
Right.
As I full out do the crazy eyes and and jump around and jump off monitors and throw my microphone and all that stuff.
Yep. Terrific.
Yeah.
Kind of like the picture we have on the site here. You've got a guitar and you look like you're rocking out.
Yeah, probably. I'm always talking out on stage, and it's so interesting because people want you to find like a brand, and they want you to sort of to stick to one thing. But it's hard because, you know, I love to write poetry and I love to write this like slow, you know, folky type music. But then on the stage and like sometimes in life, you know, you want to wear a leather jacket and riding boots, you know, and you just want to scream and jump up and down. So that's why if you're on my website or my MySpace or whatever, there's some pictures of me in leather. There's some pictures of me in a field of flowers with my guitar and things like that. It's just because that reflects me as a person. I'm not one genre. I'm not one specific way. I go through moods like everyone else does. So
that's awesome. It's good to have.
I don't
all
know if I'm answering
time.
Your question.
No, that's great. That's great. But let's turn back to the music now, because we're going to share we talked about the song earlier, a little bit called "Talk Is Cheap," and it's the one you shot a video for last week. Can we look for that to? I guess you're going to submit it to CMT at some point.
I'm going to submit it probably in the next few weeks to CMT. Mm-hmm. See how they receive it, and then release it to radio from there.
Terrific. Now, so do you want to talk a bit about the song, Stacey, and then we'll let all our listeners have a listen?
Sure. This is one of those songs that I was talking about earlier where I was waitressing, a year ago or so, and wanted to write a song for my friend who was getting married, and this song just kind of came out. And it's hard to as an artist because I recorded the album and I was such in a rush to do it, and then you go back and you listen to your album like a year later and you're like, man, I really wish I could rewrite some of these lyrics and some of these songs. So not to put the song down, it's
right.
Totally a fine song, but I would rewrite the verses if I could.
That's an interesting perspective, because I wonder how many times artists might think that down the road, that they could have done it better, or maybe they've got a different interpretation of it.
Yeah, I guess, somebody told me, like, not Bruce Springsteen, but like Bob Dylan or something, when he sings live, he doesn't sing the same words as they're on the album. And I'm assuming it's because, you know, years later he's like, this is so much better, but I can't go back
right.
in time and re-record, you know what it, you know? And
so he does it live like that.
Yeah,
cool.
Exactly. And that's what I do too. Actually, if you hear me sing this song live, it's the same chorus, the same structure, but it tells more of a story, whereas this is sort of more vague. My girlfriend met her, who I wrote the song about, she met her husband in a bar. They shared a cab home, and it turned out that they lived on the same street. So now when I sort of sing it, that's what I sing. But that's not the song. So it's basically "Talk Is Cheap," so I'll just show you the ways that I love you.
Awesome. This is Stacey Ziggers on In the Country with "Talk Is Cheap."
Found someone.
country artist Stacy Vigors, and Talk is Cheap here on In the Country. Stacy, I wanted to ask you, is there an artist that comes to mind that you would love to meet one day from any genre, and something you would like to ask that person, either about their life or about the music business?
Oh, that is a great question.
Thank you.
You know what, there's so many, but I like to answer the first thing that pops in my mind, which
sure.
is Neil Young, because he, from what I'm told, you know, went to the border in the States in a time where the States were kind of not letting guys with long hair and, you know, musicians across, and so wasn't let in, and then just went to another border and tried again in his hearse, you know, full of music equipment. And I just think that's such a cool testament, because I actually personally know somebody who says that he also went to the border to go into the States and play music, and they turned him away, so he just came back home. You know, so
right.
I just think Neil Young writes these great songs, and he doesn't stick to really one genre, and he just speaks to people, and he's a fellow Canadian, you know, kind of from from a small town. And I think there's, for somebody like that to sort of come out in nothing and just pursue his career so hard and get so much notice from it, like, there's legitimacy to that. And I personally love him as an artist and just as a figure, and I would love to meet him, and actually got very, very close to meeting him last year and totally dropped the ball on it, and just pick his brain. You know, I don't like to, when I meet artists, I don't often talk to them. I just shoot the breeze with them. I don't like asking them a lot of personal questions. I don't really ask them about music, because I don't want them to think that I'm just, you know, another person asking them all about their
personal Sure, that makes sense.
But he's somebody I would love to sit down with, and I think it's because he's such a private person, and just learn from him, just learn what he has to say, learn, you know, his story from his own mouth and how he got to where he is, and just his stories about how he came up with his songs and things like that, because he has some amazing music that I wish I could write that well. So I would say Neil Young. And he has a wealth of experience. Like, he's in his late 60s, I believe.
I think somewhere around there. Yeah, he's been around for a while. And,
you know, 60-plus years of experience in the on Earth. So, yeah, I think it'd be great to have. Neil Young, if you're listening, you need to call me.
Give Stacy a call.
Yeah.
Get in touch with her. And that sort of, and that doesn't necessarily lead into the next question, although Neil Young could be an answer to the next question. But it's to do with duets. I always like to ask artists if there's somebody they can think of that they would love to record a duet with. Sometimes there's so many names that you've thought of over the years, it's hard to narrow it down. But can you think of any male artists, again, from any genre, that, you know, if you could go into the studio and record a duet with, you would choose?
Yeah, I am. You know, there's so many amazing singers and there's so many amazing songwriters, but I really personally feel a connection to the people who I just feel like really wear their heart in their sleeves and really, you know, are good people. You just know by listening to their voice or by hearing their interview or whatever that they're good people. And I kind of keep this in my own life. If I have musicians play in my band who maybe aren't 100%, but they're great people, I will keep them. I don't care if they're, you know, beats are a little bit off, if they're a drummer or whatever, if they're good people, I'm gonna keep them in my life. And in saying that, I would say Paul Brandt. I just think he has this amazing story, and he was a nurse before he was a well-known musician, and
that's right.
Everything he does is just to help people. You know, if you follow him on Twitter, he's going to Vietnam one day, you know, to go build wells or whatever they do there. I'm sorry, that makes me sound really naive, but he's just always, there's always something going on, and it's always to help other people. And I think that's amazing, and I love to be surrounded by people like that. So I would say probably Paul Brandt for that reason.
That is awesome. Stacy, it's been such a pleasure. The time has flown by. It's been great to share your songs and also to hear so much about your story. It's really interesting. And thanks so much for spending the time with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Dave. I really, really appreciate it.
Awesome. My guest today has been country artist Stacy Vigors. And again, you can Google her name and find out more about her and listen to more of her music. I'm Dave Woods, and that wraps up this edition of In the Country.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend
spend some time in the country, leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here.